You're listening to a bonus episode of the Jurassic Park Podcast. What you're about to hear will contain spoilers for the third and final Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer. If you're trying to avoid the trailer, don't listen. If you've seen the trailer, then enjoy. Stay tuned after the discussion to hear from several listeners with their thoughts on the Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer. Thanks for listening.
I'll be all right. These creatures were here before us. And if we're not careful, they're gonna be here after. Welcome to Jurassic World.
Hey, Jurassic fans, and welcome back to the InGen Boardroom, the Jurassic Park podcast segment where we discuss all major Jurassic news with a panel of contributors and guests. Today, we are here to discuss the third and final full trailer for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Today's contributors are Jurassic Becky, a.k.a. Jurassic World Girl.
Hi, guys.
Clayton Fioriti.
Hey, what's up?
Did I butcher that one?
No, that was pretty good.
All right, well, great. And host of the Jurassic Park podcast, Brad Jost.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking. So, guys, we got a third and final very lengthy trailer. Let's see here. Becky, I'll ask you first. What were your initial thoughts on the trailer?
Well, I mean, there's a lot that we've already seen, which is, you know, cool just seeing it in a new way. But then there was, I thought it was interesting how they would take shots that we saw in the first two trailers and like explain them further. I thought that was like really fascinating. And man, there was like a lot in there though. And, you know, we finally got to see some of that conspiracy. So that was nuts.
Brad, what'd you think?
Oh, yeah, I think she brought up a good point there. That's kind of the way I've been describing it to people, because a lot of people have said, I want to avoid spoilers. Should I watch this? And I'm like, well, I mean, it's not really too much new. It's a lot of expanded upon stuff that we've already seen. So I thought that was a good way to explain it. But, man, I loved this trailer. I thought it was fantastic. It's showing that this movie is taking us to different places. There was a lot of moments that actually shocked me. I was like, oh, my God, that's something that's in this movie. And I also said, I don't know if it should have been in this trailer because it's so shocking in a way. I found it to be a very dark-looking film. But there is some comedy laced in there, which is interesting. And one of the things that stood out to me is just how torn apart this park is, and that's, you know, been laid in all the trailers so far, but you get this overshot of the entire park and it's like destroyed, and I'm like, was it cheaply built, or did dinosaurs really, you know, wreak havoc on this island like that, or was there maybe scavengers or people that like came onto this island just to pull it apart or something? I don't know, but I was just very excited about how new it looked. It looked completely different, certainly some iconic shots. And it seems like Bayona is just giving it his all, giving us something completely new and scary, and I am so pumped.
And last but not least, Clayton, what did you think? What were your initial thoughts of the final trailer?
I'm quite happy with it. It took me a couple of viewings to get past the thumbs up joke, which it works for me now. But, you know, when you first watch it and it's kind of out of context, I guess from the other trailer, I expected it to be very scary. And when that was the first thing I saw, it was I didn't expect it. I love the direction that they're taking it in, the story, and in the way that Bayona is framing a lot of the shots. This is really, really masterclass photography and filmmaking. And I think that's all you can really say as of now. We don't really know the details. We did see a lot. But like they said, it was just expanded upon what we've already seen. I wouldn't call it spoiler heavy. I would call it really lots of little nuggets of information that are, you know, building a bigger picture of hopefully the most stark and like contrasting Jurassic sequel we've ever seen.
So two of you brought up the idea of like comedy, you know, with the thumbs up joke being at the head of the trailer. Jurassic is not necessarily known for its comedic levity. It's definitely got more of a gravity to the films. But we live in a world where, you know, Marvel movies, they're funny, and they're like the top grossing movies of our generation. what do you guys think of the comedy, like the interjection of comedy in this movie? Obviously, Chris Pratt is a comedic actor, you know, with his roots in, you know, like Parks and Rec and, you know, other comedic roles. What do you guys think of more levity being added into the Jurassic franchise? Clayton, I'll start with you on that one.
I'm fine with it. I actually think it works quite well. It's just it caught me a little bit off guard. I'm okay with the Franklin scream, and I actually think that's going to be really funny because that's a genuine reaction someone would have during a scene like that. I'm fine with it because I've gone on record. I'm a big Malcolm fan, and Malcolm's always sarcastic, especially in the second one. You know, how many Sarahs do you think are on this island? Humor like
the
that.
The best.
Right.
I think that it can work really well. And I love Chris Pratt's little joke where he says, he basically tells Claire, it's all your fault if I die.
Yeah.
I really like that smile he gives at the end. That's the kind of comedy that I really love to see in a Jurassic Park film. I'm okay with what they've shown so far, really.
Becky, what do you think of it?
I absolutely love I loved the comedy in Jurassic World. I felt like it was, you know, it was much more modern than in the first three films because they had, yeah, they had comedy, but it was definitely not this like modern comedy like you guys were saying with the Marvel movies and those kind of action movies. This trailer though, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be. I didn't necessarily like how it seemed to cut the drama quite as much as I did with Jurassic World, but that might just be. I might like it better when it's, you know, inlaid in 128 minutes versus just this like 2 minute, 30 second trailer. So we'll see. I wasn't loving how it came across in the trailer, but I liked what they did in Jurassic World and it's got a lot of the same writers. So we'll see.
Yeah. So like, yeah, hopefully it kind of follows suit. Brad, what do you think of it?
Yeah. Like Clayton, I was kind of surprised by that little moment there. I thought it was pretty hilarious, you know, come to think of it. But at that moment, I was like, whoa, that's interesting. Because it takes this like serious moment. The music's serious. And it's just, you know, this awesome moment where he's reaching out and touching the nose. And then like it all of a sudden comes to comedy. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's the direction we're going now. But I do think that, you know, maybe Jurassic isn't fully thought of as a comedy series, obviously. But there are so many funny moments, you know, like you said, Malcolm is just every line basically is funny or laced with some sort of comedy. And, you know, in the first movie and the second movie, certainly the third movie has like, you know, that hilarious moment with I almost said Call Pergy. I said that so wrong. Paul Kirby, when he like tries to kick the vending machine and stuff like that. Like, I just find this so funny. And then Jurassic World came along and showed us how immature Owen is. That's what I took away from it. A lot of people complained about the comedy in that movie, but I just took it as that's his character. He's immature, and I think it shows on the surface, and it's continuing right here. And yeah, maybe it's a bit of that Guardians of the Galaxy style. The thumbs up certainly felt like that. But I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I cracked up after it. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. I liked it a lot.
I think it's different comedy. You know, you made mention that it, Becky, that it's more of like a modern comedy. And I think what a lot of people might throw them is they don't think of the franchise as being like very like, you know, with a lot of jokes. But one of my favorite jokes in the entire franchise is the fake out electric fence in the first movie.
Yeah.
But the thing is that joke is so incredibly dark that like when you're laughing, it's almost like, I cannot believe I'm laughing at this, you know, in this moment of like these kids were just absolutely tortured. And that joke is so mean spirited and that's what makes me laugh. So yeah, I think just with these movies being family movies, the comedy obviously has to change. I think Chris Pratt definitely, you know, being a funny guy in real life, you got to let these actors kind of breathe a little bit too, you know? So,
yeah, Aaron, that really, that moment in Jurassic Park is certainly weird. You know, you get this crazy moment where Tim is like thrown, you know, 20 feet off of an electric fence with 10,000 volts. And he does that stupid trick to them. But then people will complain about Jurassic World for having some silly moments. And it's like, it's been around the entire time, guys. Just take off the nostalgia glasses. There are moments just like that throughout this entire series.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with Ian Malcolm being sarcastic and with Alan Grant's joke at the very end of that movie, you know, three quarters of the way into that movie, just being sarcasm and dark jokes is different than what we usually think of today as comedy, especially with, you know, Marvel movies and what they're trying to do with the DC movies. You know, it's just different. And I think that, you know, people tend to forget that the original movies, you know, helmed by Spielberg, still had comedy in them. So let's move on here. Do you guys have any favorite moments of the trailer? Brad, I'll start with you on that one.
I think the first one, it was very quick. Like, it's hard to say because this trailer is full of very quick moments. The first one for me would be when the Rex was roaring at that dude that was, like, swinging from the helicopter. It's literally, like, a second and a half long or something. But I just thought, like, the CG looked impeccable in that moment. The T-Rex looked amazing. I loved how it was framed. I believe the camera was, like, somewhat lower. So the Rex was at this really interesting angle that you didn't really see the entirety of its face, but you just saw, like, the jaws going straight towards that guy. I just thought that was an amazing shot, and we get the Rex back in, like, the rain and all that. It's awesome. It's such a great shot. You can see, like a spotlight coming down from the helicopter, like, half lighting up the Rex inside its mouth and everything. Like, there's so much to analyze in that second and a half of footage. That was one of my favorite moments. The other one I thought about before was the Indoraptor on the roof against the moonlight. That is something that we have, like, never seen before, I don't think, in these movies. You know, it's something basically straight out of a horror movie. It really felt like right. Wolfman or something like that. You know, Wolfman, like, you know, turning into the Wolfman, like, right in front of the full moon, howling at the moon. That's kind of like what it felt like to me. It was crazy, and it just shows that Bayona is bringing something new. So I think those are probably my favorite moments. Honorable mention, maybe the Mosasaurus in the wave. I mean, we saw that in the teaser the other day, but it's just such an amazing sight. So, sorry, I just basically named a bunch of moments.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, Becky, entire trailer. Another favorite moment from the trailer?
Yeah, oh my gosh. From the teaser even, that was a big question I had from, like, the first trailer is, like, are we going to see the ancient marine reptiles? Are we going to see the Mosasaur? I was so excited to see that, yes, like, he's gonna be there. So that is a whole another level of excitement for me. And I also loved the just that, like, little moment of Claire on the beach when she says, like, this was all a lie. Like, that just, I don't know, that I'm still thinking about that. I'm wondering what that, you know, because obviously we know there's a conspiracy that is going to be uncovered, and we saw a lot of that in this. But it's just what was a lie? Like, was the park built on a pretense? Like, what does Benjamin James Cromwell character, like, you know, when he was helping build the park, like, was that, was there, like, a secret motive the whole time that, like, you know, Dr. Wu was in on? Like, I think that, you know, why is she on the beach when she realizes this? Like, I just have so many questions at one moment. So that still has me reeling.
And Clayton, what about you?
Probably the one that's still in my mind is the Indominus skeleton in the middle of the lagoon. I have no idea what they're doing down there, but just that it evokes, like, a really old 1960s dinosaur film in a good way. Just seeing those bones there, and he turns around and sees the eye of the Mosasaur. That feels like it's going to be a really claustrophobic scene that I can't wait to watch. And following up on that, the shot of the Indoraptor looking in at the window, and the camera is, like, turning as if it's, like, an Insidious film or something, where it's, like, spinning around while it's looking at the handle to unlock the door to the window and get in. That's really interesting. We've never seen anything like that in any of the films. And it's, I can't believe they're actually going this route, this head over heels, like, full force, high gear, because this is a totally different movie than I would have ever expected to get. So I was quite happy with both of those scenes. And Indoraptor in the cage with the lights behind, its great imagery reminded me of a lot of movies. But also was very scary when the shadow of the Indoraptor's head was on the wall and everyone's like, whoa, you know, backed up. But I had a lot of fun with all the suspenseful scenes, I think.
Yeah, you know, today I think it was Colin Trevorrow tweeted something out like, hey, we made a dinosaur movie. Take your kids and then spend the rest of the evening consoling your kids. you know, they've been promoting this as the scariest of the Jurassic Park movies. And, you know, to hire a horror director, you know, to shoot this film. Yeah, it definitely feels like they're, you know, Spielberg always said these aren't monsters. And we're in now to the fifth movie and they hire a monster movie maker. So, you know, that I think that's interesting, you know, in itself. But, you know, so let's move on. We've got, you know, you guys are talking about the T-Rex and the Mosasaur and the Indoraptor. What animal are you guys most excited to see based on this new trailer? Was there anything that you didn't know was going to be in it that you saw maybe was new this time around? Clayton, I'll start with you.
Well, to be honest with you, I was always excited for the Indoraptor, but I really didn't think it would be. It looks like it's going to be really prevalent throughout the entire next half of the film. I thought it would like get out at the end and then just, you know, cause some chaos. But we didn't see the Carnotaurus in this scene, except if you count, you know, where it's pinned down in the scene that we've seen over and over again. But yeah, I still think that there's a lot to be seen with that Indoraptor. So that's the dinosaur that from this trailer I'm looking forward to the most.
Becky, what about you?
So like I said, I was so excited to see the Mosasaur, and I've always been hoping that they would put a Plesiosaur in here somewhere, but I don't think it's going to happen. But the Clayton was saying, I'm so excited for the Carnotaur because the Carnotaur has been my favorite dinosaur since Jurassic World, the game, like the phone one. And so, and then I read the novel of Lost World and I was like, why isn't this guy anywhere? So, I mean, but that was, we got that on the first trailer. And I mean, I'm so excited to see more with Blue as well. Just, the Endoraptor I'm curious about, but I don't know. I'm like you were talking about earlier, how this is kind of the most like monster-ish movies of all of them. I don't really love it whenever people say Jurassic Park is a monster flick. I just like cringe because I'm like, no, it's a dinosaur movie. It's not a monster flick. But I think this one, I don't know if I'll be able to fight people off when they call it a monster flick because the Indoraptor is a little monstery. But I mean, I'm very curious about like everything that's gonna happen and how he's gonna be and everything. So, yeah.
Brad, what about you? You got a favorite animal that you're looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, you know, I tossed and turned as I was listening there because you all brought up so many great dinosaurs. But I don't know. It's so silly to say, but I feel like I'm looking most forward to seeing Blue. You know, obviously we got her already and we had a full movie with her. But I feel like this is a different experience seeing her out in the wild. Looks like she goes through the ringer, like in this movie. It's just like one thing after another, and I don't know. I'm very scared for her as a character. Like what's gonna happen? I mean, she already gets shot, which is crazy enough, and then like they're trying to save her or do something there, and so then I guess from that point we get her in the end of the movie, like trying to take on this Indoraptor. There's just so much going on with her, and then there's that whole like moment where Chris Pratt's like, hey Blue, you ready or something like that, and then you just see Blue like running out of like a laboratory and then like jumping through the air after an explosion and I'm like I need to know what is happening here because it's crazy, and I don't know why, but it's making me think a lot of the original like sales script. I don't know why, because maybe it's the whole infiltration aspect of this like compoundy thing with the trained raptors and stuff, but that's kind of like the imagery I got, like him and her just teaming up and taking down, because he says something like, I think it's time to take this place down or something, and cocks the gun or whatever. So I'm very interested to see what happens with Blue, because I'm just overall scared as to what may happen.
Scared like...
I don't know. I don't know, because I feel like it's... There's no stakes in these movies, really. You get a lot of just ancillary characters just being killed off here and there, or a villain of sorts getting killed off. But when was the last time we had... So maybe like Eddie Carr was like... Or no, I guess Mizrani, but it was very short-lived, his whole, you know, encounter in Jurassic World. But like Eddie Carr, when he died, he was like he was a major character in that movie. And he got killed in a very brutal way. So I feel like there needs to be stakes and something like either a major character like Chris Pratt or Blue or somebody. Just I'm very scared for this whole thing that they've got going on.
Okay, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right, so the next question. We talked about it in the last InGen boardroom for the very first trailer, and I'm going to bring it back up again. Many people are saying this is similar to The Lost World. Becky, do you agree with that?
No, not at all. No, because, I mean, The Lost World happened so much on Sorna, and it's like, first of all, you know, Sorna's not even a part of this, which I know doesn't matter to, like, most people who are saying that, but it matters to us. And then also, yeah, like it's the first trailer. And I think what a lot of people don't think about, and, you know, a lot of people I tell, like, the first trailer is only the first half of the movie. And so in The Lost World, it's like, you know, 80% of the movie's on the island, and that tiny little, maybe not even 20%, is in San Diego. And this one is so much more in the civilized world, and it's just a completely different plot. Instead of going back to save the dinosaurs, you know, in The Lost World, they're just going back there to check out the dinosaurs, and so this one, they're bringing them into the common knowledge and into the world and into civilization. And the fact that there's a conspiracy that we're just barely getting a little glimpse of, and we're kind of starting to unwrap that a little bit, like, it's just a whole different thing. And I, you know, people who say that, I get it, but it's just like, I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
I gotcha. Brad, what do you think? Has your opinion changed?
Yeah. I mean, I initially would have said, you know, way back, probably before we saw trailers, just based off what people were saying and stuff in the crew and all that. I think they were hinting at Lost World vibes, and a darker tone and scarier, which is The Lost World, but it's obviously taking it a completely different direction in that sense. I definitely get it. Like Becky said, I get why people, you know, are making that comparison. Actually, before we started recording, there was like a moment on Twitter, you know, like you search the Twitter moments, and it says people are comparing, like, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom to a previous Jurassic movie. So I clicked on it, and it's just loads of people saying, oh, this already happened before. This was The Lost World. And I'm like, I get it, because on the surface, there's Lost World tones, you know, going to the island, capturing dinosaurs, taking them back to the mainland, all that stuff. On the surface, yeah, that's the same thing. But there's so much more to it. There was no exploding volcano. There was no conspiracy of any kind, really. It was essentially just... I mean, I guess you could say there's sort of a conspiracy in that movie. But not... I don't think to this extent, you know. It's going to be a lot different kind of experience, conspiracy. They're just taking them back to present to a park in a safe environment where they could just make money and do business. And then these guys are obviously taking them back to bid at an auction. And that's crazy. And maybe, you know, I think that's probably what Claire was hinting at in that moment at the beach. Like, you know, that they were being lied to about saving these things. It's all about making money in a different sense. So that's what I'm kind of thinking. It's very different from The Lost World, even though from an outsider view, I can definitely see what they mean.
You know, to your point, like, I was listening to a podcast today, and they talk about the trailer. They did kind of their very brief reaction. They were like, you know, these movies are what they are. Like, at this point, like, they're all the same. They're like, other than the first one, they're all exactly the same. And then a buddy of mine wrote me, he's like, hey, so I saw this trailer, and I'm pretty sure, like, I've seen this movie. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, that's really unfair, like, because I feel like the Marvel movies, they're all the same. It's bad guy does something, and someone, you know, takes the mantle and becomes the hero to save the day. And Star Wars is all the same. It's, you know, a, a war out in space, and eventually you're going to have an aerial battle at some point. So it's just, that's what franchise movies are. You experience kind of the same thing with a little bit of a, you know, different twists and turns here and there. And I think what's more interesting is how do you take a very stiff piece of material and kind of twist it, you know, to tell a different story each time. So
let me, Clayton, let me read this. Hold on before we move on. I found that Twitter moment, and it says fans notice Jurassic World looks like a past film in the franchise. Some of these tweets say, okay, so I can't be the only one who's noticed Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is basically the same plot as The Lost World. And this guy says, I'm so glad Jurassic World 2 is doing something new, like sending snarky people back to save dinosaurs from a greedy corporation that brings the dinosaurs back to the U.S., where a giant carnivore escapes and attacks a suburb at night. And, oh, wait, that's The Lost World. Never mind. So that's the type of stuff you got going on that that Twitter moment.
Okay. Clayton, what do you think after, you know, everyone's kind of put in, what do you think of the Lost World comparisons?
Okay, well, I'm going to say the comparisons are sort of valid, but not in the way that you would think. I don't think Sorna is the reason that I personally believe that it is similar to The Lost World. I think that this is actually a very different film to The Lost World's plot. And I think that we're always going to face kind of adversity between other franchises and us, because it's weaponized fandom at this point. Jurassic World is a very serious threat to everything else. They underestimated it in 2015, and now they're paying the price. But when I say The Lost World, similarities, I think it's with the Lockwood Manor's visuals and how it looks so similar to John Hammond's home. It's very similar in sort of, and I think that's actually what they were trying to replicate, is the sort of past that Lockwood may have with Hammond. At the whole beginning of The Lost World set up to go to the island is, you know, his home's very brown. It's very, especially his room. We haven't seen too much of it yet to really go into details. Actually, it seems like they're hiding Lockwood. But I wouldn't say outright that the comparison to where it's a, they're basically calling it a ripoff of The Lost World. It is not. It's, you know, instead of people going to catch dinosaurs to put them in a theme park on the mainland, they're going to, you know, attempt to save them in this ploy before selling them all across the world. And it's also the San Diego incident was played with a lot of Easter eggs and a lot of a little bit of dark comedy in places. It was still kind of scary in areas, but this is not. It doesn't appear to be taking itself humorous at all. This looks very, very dark and scary, almost much more like a kind of like the ending of The Conjuring 2, to a degree. Like it really looks like they're playing up the scares here. So I think visually, the Lockwood Manor, very similar to The Lost World with Hammond's home. I don't think it's a ripoff of The Lost World. I actually think, if anything, it is probably the most different sequel we could have ever gotten. I think we're always going to have an uphill battle, but to other people that are going to attack this franchise for being as popular and as good as it really is, just all I got to say is be so good they can't say no, and no one said no yet.
Right. All right, so let's see. I've got one last question for you guys. This trailer was really long, and we've had now three fairly large trailers. Was there something in this trailer specifically that you wish you maybe hadn't seen? Brad, I'll start with you on that one.
I think I sort of mentioned it before with Blue getting shot. Like, that was one of that moment that I was like completely shocked. I didn't expect to see anything like that. So I kind of feel like I would have liked that to have been left out of the trailer. I mean, it's tough to say, because we know that, like, later on in the movie, she seems to be perfectly fine. So I don't know if there's going to be really any tension there. But sort of, they should have, like, left that out, or left out the end with her. So I don't know. I would have liked that handled differently, I guess. I feel like it's unnecessary. As like a selling point for this movie, you know, either the shooting moment or having her later in the movie. I don't know, it kind of would have been a surprise for her to show up like later on or something like that, or to at least see the journey after she gets shot. So I maybe would have liked one or the other, getting shot or show the end. I think that's probably what I would have liked to see. Maybe the Mosasaurus too, because that's insane in the wave.
Okay. Clayton, what about you?
To be honest with you, I don't know if I can pick anything that I wouldn't have. I think it's all fine. Maybe the getting shot, I can see that. But because if I didn't know that going in, that would really shock me. It did shock me when I saw it in the trailer. But yeah. I don't know. Like, I can't really offer anything else because we technically, we don't know, even though we think we know how the movie is going to play out. I don't really think anyone has any idea how the movie's going to go down. So yeah, maybe where Blue gets shot, but even after, I can't think of anything else. So I actually don't think it's that spoilery anymore.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, all these shots are out of context, so you really have no clue, you know, where these shots are, other than what we've seen in the original trailers, where Trevorrow said that it was the first half or first quarter or something like that. But Becky, what do you think? Was there something maybe you wish you hadn't seen?
I kind of wish that there was less of the Indoraptor in Maisie's room. I think that that's just like, it's been so highlighted so much, and the aesthetic of that just looks so much like a set to me. Like, I don't totally buy it for whatever reason. And I kind of just wish that they hadn't been so heavy-handed with that footage. But also, I think that they gave away kind of like a victory moment with kind of highlighting how Owen and Blue still have that like super tight relationship. I love seeing it, but I think it's something I would have loved to like be, you know, be more aware of when I go to see it, and be like, oh yes, that's still just as strong as it, you know, or stronger than any of us like would have thought it was, that they have that bond. I think that was kind of a little, I wish I would have seen that in the theater, but it's cool.
Okay, so finally what I'm going to do is I'm going to open it up to you guys if you guys have any questions for each other. Clayton, I will start with you. Do you have any questions for the other panel members?
Actually, yeah. How do you guys think this one will rank against all the other films in terms of just general quality replay value? Do you think this will be better than Jurassic World, or do you think this could be better than Jurassic Park? I'm curious to hear what everyone thinks.
Becky, go ahead. Why don't you take that?
Yeah, go ahead, Becky.
Okay, so I think, I don't know, I have a hard time, and I think I'm going to, until 2021 and beyond, have a hard time comparing and lining up necessarily the first three and the second three. It just seems like two completely different sets. But yeah, I think that the watchability, I don't know if it'll be quite as, like, if it's going to be a DVD I pop in to watch as much as I do with Jurassic World, just because it seems so intense and so nuanced. It doesn't really seem like something that you can put on and check in with and check it out of. But I think it's going to be definitely a lot more suspenseful than the other ones. Even though I consider them suspenseful movies, I think this one will be a whole new level with J.A. Bayona.
Yeah, Becky, you bring up a good point about you know, rewatchability and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, we don't know how it's going to play out, but I kind of compare it to The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Like, The Force Awakens for me is a very rewatchable movie. It's fun, it's thrilling, it's exciting. And yeah, there's a few dark moments, but you put on The Last Jedi and it's like, it's very heavy and very, you know, dark. And it's a lot of moments like that that's, it's almost tough for rewatches and stuff like that. It's a beautiful movie. It's a great movie, I think, but I feel like it's harder of a rewatch. So maybe that is what this will be for that. And I feel like there are those comparisons. There was the Rafe Spall quote where he's like, Jurassic World, The Island, all that is in the past. Let me show you the future. So that's very much like a Kylo Ren quote from Last Jedi. And then Claire just talking about everything as a lie. So maybe this movie will go in a different direction and it'll play out differently. But in terms of where it will rank and stuff like that, yeah, I feel like the first two for me are untouchable.
Jurassic World,
Jurassic World didn't come close to it for, you know, it was very great. I loved it a lot, but it's not going to touch those two for me. And sometimes I flip flop which one I like the most, one or two. but this one, I think I will, you know, on the surface, I think I'm going to like it more than Jurassic World and Jurassic Park 3. I think that's probably where it'll stand. That's my guess for now.
All right, Becky, do you have any questions for the panel?
I don't think that I really have any that I can think of. I just wanted to say thank you to Clayton for saying that the dinosaur skull we saw was the Indominus, because that didn't even click for me. I was watching it and I was like, what? You know, who's dead at the bottom of the ocean? And then, yeah, obviously it's the Indominus, and that makes me so excited because I loved that guy, so I'm excited even if he's dead, and that's sad. But I just wanted to say thanks for that because I didn't see that.
Yeah,
no sweat.
That's amazing. I was actually looking because I bought the Mosasaurus toy, and if you look at like the box art on the back, there's like a rib cage surrounding the Mosasaurus, and I'm like, I actually shot like a unboxing video last night, and I was like, ooh, this is interesting. Is this the Indominus, like, rib cage here? And it's so funny that that's literally what happened in the trailer. And I was like, that moment was incredible. Like, that was such a cool moment. Very dark and scary. And I said this the other day on Twitter. Like, you know, it takes certain amount of time to overcome your fears and stuff like that. I'm a person who's very afraid of the water for some reason. I really don't like oceans and going deep in the water and like even lakes. I just don't like that stuff. Freaks me out. I can't tell you where it came from because I used to scuba dive and stuff like that, but it just kind of terrifies me. And you know, you can almost get over it after, you know, 30 years or so, but then that shot of the Mosasaurus just, you know, swimming in that wave just killed me. I was like, well, there goes any chances of getting over that fear. That's it.
Such a cool shot.
It is.
Brad, did you have any questions for the group?
I don't know. I wonder, because I feel like this trailer showed quite a bit of stuff, but I feel like there is that question of, like, where does it go? Like, what happens from here? I really have no idea. And the only like hint I have is based off that. I think it was Bayona tweeted it out a few weeks back with the music from the studio when they were recording with Giacchino's, you know, orchestra and music there. He said something like, and that's how you end the movie. And it was like this crazy orchestral moment where it was like this almost Jaws-like moment where it kind of had that like, and it got faster and faster, just like Jaws does. And it got to this like sort of very dissonant, triumphant moment that sounded scary and just ended the, you know, and if that's the end of the movie, that's interesting. And I just don't know how that'll play out. It's kind of tough to tell from this trailer. What do you guys think? Do you have a certain idea as to how it'll play out?
I think that definitely indicates it's going to be a huge cliffhanger, which is just rough considering it's another 3 years until the next one. But yeah, like I'm anticipating it to be just, you know, a very intense movie that leads up to an intense moment that leaves like a big question. Because Jurassic World left some questions with Dr. Wu leaving with like, you know, the all of the dinosaur information, whatever. But, you know, we still, I don't know, it felt pretty wrapped up. And I think that this movie's not going to feel wrapped up at the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I have a pretty good idea where it's going. If I'm correct on who Benjamin Lockwood is, I don't know if have all of you read the novel?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I've read the novel. Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was on the Missing Copy podcast last night, and we were talking about there's a throwaway line in an early chapter on a character named Norman Atherton. He is John Hammond's business partner. He was the guy that helped develop the technology to clone the genes and everything like that. And he died of cancer early before Jurassic Park took off and his student, Henry Wu, took over. And if they're going to look up something like that, like so obscure in the novel, I really feel like if he's like burned in that music, like you said, Brad, is playing up almost like a something bad, like a plague has just happened, like loads of disasters going on. I feel like they're going to adapt Worldwide Dinosaurs, like at the end of the first novel, where they're off the island, they're all over the place. But I also think they're going to adapt the disease in the Lost World that created the extinction, personally.
Yeah, that's intense. I don't know. That very well could happen. And I've kind of toyed with that idea as well of, I mean, obviously, I think we all have at some point of like a true Jurassic World, you know, the entire world just full of dinosaurs at some point. And I don't know. I don't know if they'll take that route only because it's so close to Planet of the Apes. But and that specifically with the disease and everything like that, that would be very similar. But maybe they'll do it. I don't know. I'm just as tossed up as everybody else.
Yeah, the plot synopsis that Universal released, it did say, like, towards the very end of it, that it unveils, like, a conspiracy that could lead to the dinosaurs being the, like, predominant species again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it very well, I constantly reread that, and I'm in conjunction with the trailers, it's, like, I forget that they say that. So, yeah, that's, I think that could be kind of where it's going. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it even, didn't it say something like an extinction level event? Because I remember joking with Arjun about that, about like, you know, extinction level. I'm like, oh, I'm sure you're happy that's in there.
Right.
But yeah, those are good points. So we have no idea. Obviously, that's how it all comes about here.
All right. Well, I'll take this time then just to wrap it up. You know, thank you to the panel for being here. You know, again, I'm Aaron Beyer. I don't think I actually said that at the head of this conversation, but that's okay. Most people probably maybe know me at this point on the podcast, but I'm Aaron Beyer, and I'm going to go through and just ask where everyone can find you. So Becky, we'll start with you. Where can everyone find you online?
Okay. So, I am Jurassic Becky, but my handle is on Instagram. It's at Jurassic World Girl, and on Twitter, it's at Jurassic World Girl. With no vowels, or Jurassic, and then WRLDGRL. So that is where you can find me. I'm more active on Instagram.
All right, Clayton, and where can people find you?
Okay, I'm on YouTube as Clayton Fioriti, Fioriti. I'm on Instagram, Clay_moviesandgames, and Twitter at Clayton Fioriti. Yeah, that's it.
All right. And Brad, host of the Jurassic Park podcast, where can people find you?
You can find I don't really advertise this very much on the podcast, but my personal Twitter at Brad Jost. And obviously, you know, JurassicParkPodcast.com. Look up all the information on the podcast. Search iTunes, Google Play. I don't know where you're listening to this, but you can find it on all podcast apps. At Jurassic Park Pod on Twitter, Jurassic Park Podcast on Instagram. Yeah, we're all over the place.
All right, and I'm Aaron Beyer, and you guys can find me on Twitter at Aaron D. Beyer. Just, you know, let us know what you guys think of the trailer. You know, we're roughly 2 months away from finding out everything. So until then.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey everybody, it's Brad here again. I just wanted to introduce a bunch of these clips that I'm going to play. Thank you so much to everybody who called in to let us know your thoughts on the trailer. You guys are just as important as we are, and we wanted to get your voices out there as well. Thank you so much, and enjoy these clips.
Jawsome!
Okay, I recently saw the Twitter thing about sending in thoughts and general opinions for the trailer recently, and I know people are saying it's giving away too much, but in my opinion, it's giving away just enough to give us a little bit to run with until the film's full release, since this is the final trailer we're going to be getting for the big trailers, and then it's just going to be TV spots. But they set up some really nice things with this trailer, like we have the entire Malcolm scene, and Malcolm seems worried, which is a first, really. Normally it's all sarcasm, but this time he's like, no, this is actually serious. We might want to do something. Ties up Indominus's fate really well with the skeleton. It also looks like they've got some more information on it, and they've got a lot of holograms. So many holograms in this trailer. It's going to be interesting seeing how exactly Blue fares for the transportation with the bullet in her stomach, let's say. Because that guy, I think, shot her in the stomach. It looked like it was stomach region. I might be wrong with that, though. Let's see, what else? It's going to be really weird seeing what all creatures are auctioned and how they're going to be used. Because I don't really see Ankylosaurus being used much for combat, except maybe as a tank. Who knows? I surely don't, though. The trailer and all, though, has some great shots. Gives away just enough to get us interested and speculate.
Hey, what's up, Brad? This is Justin Steele from Twitter. I noticed that you said on there you wanted to know our thoughts from the new Jurassic World final trailer today. And I gotta be honest, this is probably my most favorite trailer to this point. It was really great to get more of a close-up scene with the Rex and see going in there trying to be goofy and then get real. She's breaking out of the truck. And then we get our first really in-depth look at the Indoraptor. And gotta be honest, I'm a little bit more terrified of that thing than I was Indominus. And when I saw the Indominus on the big screen in the first Jurassic World, it scared the flip out of me. I was very terrified of it. But this thing, this is going to be a whole new level of freaky. So I'm most definitely ready for this movie. Cannot wait to check it out. And I think this is going to be the best movie of the year. I honestly do. I've been, as a longtime Jurassic Park fan, this is the most excited I have been in a long time for a Jurassic movie. And it definitely has that Lost World feel, and seeing as the Lost World is my most favorite Jurassic Park movie, I'm feeling really great about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, so I'm ready. Let's go. So that's my thoughts on the trailer. I'd like to know what you thought, actually. But yeah, that's all I got for it. So thank you for your time. Have a blessed day, man. Talk to you soon.
Hey, Brad. It's Veronica, a.k.a. also known as Verona Raptor. And I know that you and I have been going back and forth on Twitter today about the new trailer. And I can just tell you, holy crap, I have no idea what to think. I did feel like at some points it was revealing a little too much, but at the same time, I feel like that's all a lie, because when we watch the entire package, it's probably going to be either something slightly different or there's like a big surprise, you know what I mean? So I don't really know what I was going to expect from this movie. I just, from what I was watching and hearing and all of the, you know, hybrid dinosaurs that are going on in auction was not what I was thinking at all. I really have some guesses, but I'm not sure. And I had goosebumps. So you tell me how you felt about it too, because I'd like to know. Anyways, that's really all my thoughts. I'm just kind of, woo! I'm all crazy here, but I'm really excited, and I can't wait to hear from you. All right, bye.
Hey, my name is Duncan Scarborough, and I'm calling to talk about the new Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer that came out earlier today. First of all, I want to say the voicemail is awesome. That's really cool. And my thoughts are you definitely see a lot more of the Indoraptor, which I think that's a pretty good thing. I had a lot of questions regarding it, and it was nice to see just the Indoraptor in action, is a fair thing to say. My favorite part of the trailer is definitely the Mosasaurus. I think that's awesome. That was probably one of my favorite dinosaurs from the first Jurassic World film, and I'm glad to see its return. The scene reminded me of, I don't know if you have seen it, but a movie that came out a couple years ago called The Shallows. There's a park where you see the shark in the wave while people are surfing. It is very, very reminiscent of that scene. If I could rate it 1 out of 10, I would give it an 8. It kind of tells the story and kind of lets you know what's going to happen a bit more than the other ones. Because me and my friend were, you know, when we saw the first two, we were like trying to guess what was going to happen in the movie. And now it kind of makes a bigger picture of what we will be seeing in the movie coming up soon. So those are my thoughts. Thank you for giving me the chance to talk to you on voicemail, and hopefully, yeah, I don't really know much more to say. Peace.
Hi, this is Taylor. I'm Griffin Bird Press on Instagram. Just calling to give my thoughts on the new trailer. I liked it. I thought it was really good, but I didn't think it had the same flow as the other two did. It didn't feel as natural in its progression. And also, I think they might have shown too much. Because the first trailer, Colin Trevorrow said that, you know, they only showed the first, or everything in it was only from the first 50 minutes of the movie, and it seemed like this whole trailer took place in, like, the third act of the movie. So I'm kind of worried that they may have given too much away. I didn't really want to see the Indoraptor in full yet. I didn't need to see the Mosasaur yet. And those are all really cool shots, but I think it would have been better served if they left them for us to be surprised when we actually went and saw the movie. So all in all, some cool footage, but kind of wish they would have showed less of it. But keep up the good work with the podcast. I love it. Can't wait for the movie.
Hey, Brad. My name is Mark. I follow you guys on Twitter and Instagram. I've been listening for a while now. Instagram is at Coach_Mark. But anyway, I saw the trailer today almost against my will. My wife tagged me on the trailer link in Facebook, and I'm like, you know what? I knew it was coming out. I gotta watch it. Oh, man, I love this trailer. It is so tense and so much fun. And, it does kind of sort of spoil a little bit, but then it also gives us nuggets to keep us wanting more. Blue and Owen have that special connection. And I love the line in there when Owen is, confronting them on their military uses. And he's like, well, the man who learned how to train animal to, communicate with man, or I forget how he words it, you didn't realize that we could be using this for military purposes. And I just love that interaction, and I am so excited to see this movie when it finally comes out. I'm actually going to be out of town myself on a business trip, but I think I might actually have to sneak away for a couple hours and see it if that's at all possible. So I love what you guys are doing. I love listening to the show. And keep up the good work, guys. Bye.
Make sure to visit JurassicParkPodcast.com to find all our past episodes, brand new news articles, information on how to contact us, and much more. It's a great source for everything related to the podcast, and of course, Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. Head to JurassicParkPodcast.com and help us build a great community.
Anybody hear that?
Five minutes. Drop what you're doing and leave now.